Cannabis and its botanical cousin hemp have been used for many purposes throughout much of human history. Only in the past century, observes Rick Doblin, has the plant been blacklisted.
Our approach of prohibition that we're emerging from is a historical anomaly. It's really not the way humanity has dealt with marijuana for millennia.
Doblin heads the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies and is a board member of the Open Cannabis Project. That ban on marijuana, he adds, has coincided with great strides in understanding the inner workings of plants, scientific advances that are only now being applied to marijuana in all of its contemporary diversity and effects.
So much information about the different cannabinoids, the different terpenes, but what do they actually do? We don't really know. And what do they do in combination? So trying to figure that out is really important.
One man who was deep into that study is Mowgli Holmes, founder and chief scientific officer for the Portland, Oregon-based company Phylos Bioscience. One of their goals, he explains, is mapping the cannabis genome, much as was done for humans just a few years ago.
That's what we're trying to do for cannabis, too, but plants are actually way more messed up. There's all these duplications and deletions, and even the chromosomal structure won't be the same from one variety to the next. Right now, there's this swirling mess of thousands of different varieties, and no one really knows what they have. And no one knows where it came from, and people rename things all the time. And it's basically impossible for medical patients to find something that works for them and then get it again.
But Holmes' work is taking an even broader approach. He and his team are working up a worldwide genetic history of marijuana.
We want to know how the plant moved around the world. We know that it was domesticated in Central Asia 8 or 10,000 years ago. We know that it followed humans around the entire globe, and that it can now be found pretty much everywhere. But we don't know the interesting migratory story.
To do that, the Phylos team has sought out rare samples, including preserved tinctures, dried plant materials, and saved seeds from growers and collectors all over the world. Just doing that has been complicated.
We just need a tiny little sample about the size of a pea. And now we have this commercial kit that we send out to people, and it lets them rapidly prep a legal sample that they can then ship back to us across state lines, internationally, legally. Then we can get the DNA from that and do the analysis.
That's a big improvement over the far-flung network of labs they used earlier, and Holmes says it has helped their study make considerable progress.
We're all the way there in terms of being able to offer commercial strain identification. As a product, it's built. Our scientific partners, who are really just in it for the evolutionary story, they want us to grow our database until it's 10 times as big and constantly be working on sourcing interesting stuff from around the world. That work, we're halfway there.
That product he mentioned is one way this research is expected to cycle back to inform and benefit the rapidly expanding cannabis industry.
Only if you can preserve all the existing diversity that's out there in this complex Amazon jungle of this one plant are we ever going to be able to get at the true medicinal value of the plant, which probably lies in a bunch of the more rare cannabinoids that the plant produces. Tracking down what genes control the production of those other cannabinoids is something that can be helped by looking at lots of different plants. And ultimately, it will help us to make really targeted, useful medical plants that we can't make now.
We'll look deeper into the applications of cannabis genetics tomorrow. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.